Michigan Rundown Podcast.
Walton, Chapman, hoist a three. Michigan wins!
At midcourt, extra pass.
And it goes for the win!
Presented by Jake Singer.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Michigan Rundown Podcast. My name is Jake Singer, and on today's episode, we're going to dive into Michigan's offensive predicted starters for the 2021-2022 college football season. It's right around the corner. We're right here. We just got the first AP Top 25 poll out yesterday. It's exciting stuff. Michigan might not have been ranked on the preseason AP Top 25 poll. That doesn't mean Michigan doesn't have a chance at anything. Of course, with this stacked Big Ten Conference, Michigan has every chance in the world to prove all the doubters wrong and to prove everyone, again, that Michigan football should belong at the top of college football in general. On today's episode, as I just said, we're going to be going over all the predicted starters for all the offensive position groups, from QB to running back to tight end to offensive line, and to see really who we're going to see on week one against Western Michigan. So let's dive right in. To start with quarterback, you know, this has definitely been the most highly anticipated position group Michigan football has had all offseason long. And just this past spring, really no one knew who was going to take out the Wolverines opening week and was going to start for the quarterback position. We had a large variety of guys ranging from vets to five-star recruits coming in. And a lot of people just didn't know where Harbaugh was thinking. You know, maybe the fans wanted one thing versus the team wanting another. So it'll be very interesting to see, you know, how this final decision has played out. This all said, at this specific moment, Coach Harbaugh has come out and has named Cade McNamara the week one starter against Western Michigan. Now, he had some playing time last season. You know, Joe Milton eventually got benched. McNamara came in, played pretty well for a few drives, and then exited the game with an injury. So then Milton had to come right back. So we didn't get a large sample size of Cade McNamara. That said, Harbaugh is extremely high on him. The team has all seemingly has all really been behind him all offseason long. And once he was named the starter, he has taken that leadership and that position and that title under his belt and has really done a few things to, you know, to solidify his starting quarterback position. So, of course, with having Cade number one, we'll then have J.J. McCarthy at number two as the backup. McCarthy was the five-star recruit coming in. Every Michigan fan was extremely ecstatic when he signed with Michigan, including myself. We're very, very high on him. He is the future of Michigan football. Some say he should be starting this season. You know, we'll let the spectators and the doubters, and only really time will tell to see if that should have happened or should not have happened. But expect him to be the number two role, playing more like a Dylan McCaffrey role, at least when Dylan McCaffrey was behind Shea Patterson. When we're winning by a lot, when we're losing by a lot, he'll get some playing time. If something happens to Cade down the road, see him definitely fill in this, you know, at the QB1 position. Number three, we have Alan Bowman. He is a transfer from Texas Tech. He had a decent career there. Not much really came of it, so he decided to leave and came to Michigan. There was a large position battle between him and JJ for the number two slot. Right now, JJ's in there, but definitely see Alan Bowman keep fighting for that backup position. And if anything ever happens to Cade or JJ, see Alan Bowman move up in the depth chart. At number four, we have Dan Villari. Dan Villari is a very interesting role because although he's listed at number four on the depth chart, I actually see him more as being a number two in terms of time on the field. Because of this, you know, Harbaugh has come out and said Dan Villari will be used in more of a Taysom Hill type role. He's very agile, great with his legs, really good in the pocket, but also has a cannon of an arm. So even more so than J.J. McCarthy or Alan Bowman, you might see Dan Villari on the field after Cade McNamara. So it'll be very interesting to see how Coach Harbaugh uses all four of these quarterbacks throughout the season. Now, as I said a little bit earlier with Cade McNamara and J.J. McCarthy, a lot of people really did want McCarthy to start. And sometimes that was myself. I really wanted JJ McCarthy to get out there. He's the five-star. He's the future. And there are some pros and cons with that. You know, as we've seen with quarterbacks in the past starting true freshmen, you know, you never really know what you're going to get because these guys might have been electric in high school, but they might not always follow through and their game might not always translate to the college level. Now, we've seen guys like Spencer Rattler start as a true freshman, and he performed amazing. Then we saw guys like in Alabama with Mac Jones, and he was the vet, and he started, and he let, you know, the five-star recruit sit on the bench for the whole entire year, and now it's his turn to shine. So you really don't know what you're going to get when you have a five-star quarterback and you have a veteran that you could start, and which person do you really start? Because neither are, you know, have not proven to be the number one starter yet. So, you know, some pros of starting McNamara, you know, he is experienced and he did play last season. He knows the playbook. He knows the coaches. He knows this team in and out. I think that experience will definitely show early on. We haven't had a quarterback like that in a while, at least in the last 4 years, that has come in with that knowledge and that experience right off the bat. When Shea Patterson transferred to Michigan, there was a lot of unknowns with him. Joe Milton just as much. So at least we have a guy in McNamara that everyone seems to be more behind than any quarterback we've had in the last few seasons. The team has been rallying around him, and they're very high. The coaches are very high on him. He has also taken measures to be that QB1. He came out a little bit earlier in a podcast, in an interview, and he said that he went to go and get testing done on his throwing motion and to see, is his elbow dropping, is his shoulder dropping, how is his throwing motion, how what's the distance on his ball, on his spin rate. You know, just these little things that maybe professionals do, he's taking those actions now, and I think that's a very mature thing to go about and a very, very mature way to go about this QB1 position and knowing, hey, I'm going to keep trying to get better. I know I have a lot of doubters. I know I'm not the proven starter week one. I need to keep proving myself. So I'm going to do everything I can to get on that field and to lead this team to a national championship. And that's what Michigan football is all about. So I think it's very, very courageous of him and very high of him, mature of him, to go out there and to keep doing these things that a professional would do at a QB1 position. Now, that said, there are a few cons with starting Cade McNamara over JJ McCarthy. We don't want JJ to leave, and I'm going to say this all the time. Guys like JJ McCarthy are generational talent, at least through high school, at least of what we've seen. He is an amazing, amazing quarterback. He has so much talent. And so the biggest flaw with starting a guy like Cade McNamara over JJ McCarthy is, you know, he might take 1 year on the bench and say, I'm out of here. I'm going to go to a team that wants to start me. Because if you keep Cade McNamara in the starting role this year and say Cade McNamara wants to stay an extra year and JJ has to spend another year on the bench, I just don't see him staying. And he's so too good of a talent to waste on a bench. So the problem with starting Cade right now, it's okay. But as we go a little farther along the future, it just could become an issue, you know, starting Cade McNamara over JJ McCarthy, because he has so much hype and so much talent in McCarthy that he could just leave and go to any other team that wants him more than Michigan does. Also, you know, there have been proven players like Spencer Rattler, where you start the guy as a freshman, he gets time to develop while playing in college football games. He gets that action. He gets that experience under his belt. So you're not starting a redshirt freshman next season who hasn't played many snaps in college football. I mean, that's the biggest thing right now. You know, say you go through an entire year of Cade McNamara, you go, you know, even maybe go 500, and then you start JJ McCarthy next season because the Cade McNamara experiment didn't work out, and now JJ McCarthy is inexperienced too. I mean, that's the thing with college football, as we've seen, it's all about experience plus talent plus chemistry. And, you know, some would say that JJ McCarthy needs to start that experience now, because Michigan isn't necessarily trying to win a national championship this season. They're not built to win a national championship this season. Next season, maybe. Next season, they could possibly beat Ohio State. So these are the things that you think about in terms of timing as well. And how many more years can Michigan football fans and Michigan students wait to see Michigan actually do something with this football team and not just go mid-range, not just go 500, not just be ranked 18th, 19th in the country, be ranked top 10? What is it going to take? Some would say it's JJ McCarthy. Okay, put him out there, start him, see what he can do now. So these are just some questions that, you know, you should keep in mind throughout this season. You know, Cade McNamara is going to be under a microscope. Michigan fans, Michigan beat reporters, Michigan coaches are all going to be paying attention very closely to this QB battle to see, hey, if Cade's not, you know, fitting the bill, if he's not working out, you put JJ in because he is the future. He's the guy that all the fans want. They like him. He's a very likable guy. What are you going to do with this specific spot here? So it's going to be some very interesting stuff that only time will tell about this. Next, we have definitely the most exciting position on this Michigan's football team, the running back position. We have three players that could start for any Division I team in the country, ranging from Alabama to Michigan to Northwestern. And we have a great mix of veterans and newcomers this season, where it's really going to be hard for the coaches, I think, to decide which players to keep on the field and which ones to not, because all three of them will easily prove at different points in the season that they cannot be taken off this field because they're all playmakers. They all are ball hawks. They love carrying the ball. They're physical ground pound runners with also a lot of elusiveness and speed. And I'm just excited to tell you guys who's going to start and what's going on with this depth chart right now. So first, we definitely have Hassan Haskins. He is the guaranteed starter week one, every single week. And, you know, it's going to take a lot to get him off the field. He is elusive. He is physical. He is speedy. He ran for 375 yards last season and 6 touchdowns, and he averaged 6.1 carries per game. Now, again, he played in every single game last season and was the starter last season as well. So averaging 6 yards a carry is insane in Big Ten football. Now, he didn't have any receptions, and I think that is the most notable statistic to keep in mind, at least for the other two guys coming in, because I think guys like Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards, which I will get to, might see the field on passing downs more so than Hassan Haskins will. But that said, Hassan Haskins will be doing the majority of the groundwork for the Michigan Wolverine team. Now, there's one other thing I should mention, though, about Hassan Haskins. He didn't have any fumbles in the 6 games that he played last year, which is also great to know. He takes care of the football when he has the ball. Although he is physical, he knows, you know, how to protect it, and he can run in a safe way. And I think that's a really high characteristic and great characteristic to have as a running back in Big Ten football. So number two on the depth chart, I have Blake Corum. Blake Corum played some games last season as a true freshman. This year, in his sophomore season, we'll have to see how much Michigan uses him. You know, again, being behind Hassan Haskins will definitely limit the amount of snaps he has. That said, he brings a few other things that Hassan Haskins doesn't bring. He, for one, is a big reception running back. He catches a lot of balls out of the backfield. He likes running routes. He's really good at that. He's also good using the sidelines. Michigan used him in some screen plays, some sweeps last season. They used him in some blocking ways that Hassan Haskins wasn't used in. So Blake Corum will definitely see the field quite a bit. I just still think being behind Hassan Haskins, he won't get as many snaps as he would, not being behind Hassan Haskins this season. And third, we have Donovan Edwards. Edwards, very similar to JJ McCarthy, is a 5-star running back coming in this season. You know, this is the biggest thing you should keep in mind with Donovan Edwards. Do not expect a whole lot this season. He is the future at the running back position with Michigan football. JJ McCarthy and Donovan Edwards, we will see together, I think, either next season or 2 seasons from now. This season, you can't expect that much. You might see 3 to 5 carries from Donovan Edwards a game. I still think the Michigan coaching staff will want to put him on the field. I don't think they could afford to keep him off the field just given his skill sets and given his talent level at football. But this is, you know, a grooming year. This is the year that they, you know, work with him, figure out his technique, get him more built for a college football level running back and not as much as a high school running back. But there is so much to look forward to Donovan Edwards. He is number 3 in the depth chart. He will be number 1 either next season or the season after that. I can guarantee you that. Of course, bearing in mind any other circumstances that could prevent him from being you know, playing football, of course. But he is right now the number three back. I still think you'll see all three backs on the field at some point, you know, in a game and, of course, the regular season. But for right now, I think the depth chart goes Haskins, Corum, Edwards. Now we move on to tight ends. This position group is not as skilled as, say, QBs or running backs because there are really no big veteran returning players that are going to come back and wow you in this tight end group this season. There's a lot to prove. You know, it's the most unknown position in my mind on offense because of all the success that the veteran players at Michigan have had, you know, with Sean McCune, Nick Eubanks now balling out for the Dallas Cowboys. So this season, it's going to really be, you know, a surprise to see which players in the tight end group really shine. Are they really all going to just be a blocking tight end group? Or is one tight end going to come up and wow you and be a big receiver for this team, or really just going to trust the running backs and the wide receivers to carry the receiver load? So with this group, just keep in mind right now, these are the projected starters in the depth chart, but actually this is the one position group that could easily change as we go week to week this season. So I have starting Eric All for the Michigan Wolverines. All had a few drops last season that has me worried about him being the number one starter at the tight end position. He didn't have a lot of receptions, only with 12 last season for 82 yards, so it wasn't a big offensive productive year. That said, he was behind Nick Eubanks. So this year, if he wants to start, he is going to need to have better hands, become more useful in blocking situations, and as of right now, it is his spot to lose. He showed a lot of promise in high school. The Michigan coaching staff are very high on him. Even if he isn't big in the receiving field, he is a great blocker. He has to protect the quarterback, of course, as a tight end position. The tight end position is still a blocking position to this day, especially in college football. But it will be very interesting to see what he does with the limited sample size we have seen from him in the past. And if he does shine through this year with this new and improved offense, or if he just stays that blocking tight end and lets someone else jump him on the depth chart. And number two, I have Luke Schumacher. He has been with the team for 3 years now. I wouldn't be surprised if you haven't heard from him. He is an all-around tight end that just hasn't seen the field much. Again, he's been behind McCune, Eubanks, and now he is behind All. So he hasn't really gotten many opportunities to show the fans or the coaching staff what he is all about. But this year is the year for him to jump All if he has a chance at all to be number one on the depth chart. Eric All has a lot to prove and has shown, you know, some ups and downs in last year at least. So if Luke Schumacher wants to make an impact on this team, this would be the year to do it. He just needs to be more involved in the passing game. He needs to make sure he doesn't drop the ball, and he should, you know, cover his blocks when he gets the chance to get into the game. So right now I have Eric All and Luke Schumacher as our two tight ends, but again, it is the one position group that I am very worried about, but at the same time, there's just not enough information out there for me to know much about them, so it's just only really time will tell to see what happens with this tight end group. And last but not least, we have our offensive linemen. Now, the offensive lineman is very interesting this season because we have seen over the past few years, Michigan have some great offensive lines. And then last year, for example, we had an offensive line where we had guys like Jalen Mayfield who played spectacularly and that got him to be drafted in the first round. But other than really him, there was a lot of unknowns about the rest of the guys. So this year we do have a big returning offensive lineman, which I think will bode well for the Michigan offense. But some guys might be playing positions that you might not expect them to, and I'll explain why. So at left tackle, we have Ryan Hayes. Now, there isn't that much information on him. He did not play great last season, but we can't look too much into that due to the QB issues Michigan had and with COVID. He is the guy for left tackle, though, and he has a large upside. Really, with him, only reps and time will tell if he is the guy for the job. But he's big, He's proven all offseason that he can block at the left tackle position, which is arguably the most important position in football. So we'll just have to see what happens with him. But Ryan Hayes is the guy at left tackle. Next, we have right tackle. And at right tackle, I have Carson Barnhart as our starting right tackle. He didn't have much of a chance to show his talent last season due to Jalen Mayfield being the star of the offensive line, but the coaches are very high on Barnhart. He is a freak of an athlete, and many have pointed to his strength as his best asset. With Jalen Mayfield gone, it'll be very interesting to see what a guy like Carson Barnhart can do, who was a middle recruited kind of guy for this Michigan offensive line, but he has put in the work. The coaches love him. He is really strong, puts in the work in the gym, and there's nobody else that the Michigan Wolverines can put at right tackle other than him because he just keeps proving to the coaching staff that he cannot be taken off the field. At left guard, I have Trevor Keegan. And Trevor Keegan's interesting because as a redshirt freshman, it'll be interesting to see what he brings to the table. There isn't that much on Keegan since he was a redshirt freshman and did not play last season, but he has had a great offseason and the coaches also love him. He is bigger, so he could move out to tackle depending on the situation, but they love him at guard right now. And I have no issues with a guy that has the wingspan and the size to play tackle be moved into guard. Because to some, that is to say that he could be also our possible swing tackle. If something happens to Ryan Hayes or Carson Barnhart, you move Trigger Keegan out there and then you can makeshift your offensive line. Because it has proven that it's easier to fill a guard spot in football than the tackle spot. So I love this move with Trigger Keegan. I love that he's very versatile on the offensive line. He's young, so he should definitely be with the Wolverines for many years. If he can show something promising this year, it can only go up from here for him. So I'm very excited to see what Trigger Keegan can do at the left guard position. At center, I have Zach Zinter. Now, Zach Zinter is the one guy on the offensive line that many Michigan Wolverine fans could question why is he at the center spot. And that's because he has been playing guard mostly through high school. They recruited him as a guard. But Harbaugh decided to put him at center because there is a hole that Zinter can fill at the center position. As I just said, we have a lot of guards. We have a lot of tackles already. But the center position is the one position that you really don't really have anybody that you recruited that you can say, yes, he is the guy for the center position. So Zach Zinter will slide right in. He is strong, he's physical, and everyone is very excited about him. He was very heavily recruited out of high school, so I'm very excited to see what he can do on the field. I think also the reason why they put him at the center position is that Harbaugh and the coaching staff want to put the top five linemen out there week one against, you know, these big matchups that they have all season long. And although Zinter can play guard as well, they see him as a center this season. So it'll be very interesting to see if he sticks at center or do they move him out to guard. Again, there's a lot of things you can do with this offensive line. Say something happens to one of the tackles. You move Trevor Keegan out to tackle. You move Zach Zinter out to left guard. And you fill someone else at center. So there is a lot of different makeshift offensive line this Michigan coaching staff can work with, can experiment with. And we'll have to see what happens moving forward. But I'm very excited about this Zach Zinter getting to see the field. Again, I remember when he was recruited. I remember when he committed. And I'm very excited to see what he can do for the Michigan Wolverines. And finally, at right guard, I have Andrew Stuber. He is a grad student that we have seen a lot of. He is the most veteran-esque player on this offensive line. You will see he'll most likely be one of the leaders on the offensive line. And more than that, everyone's saying he's had the best spring by far of any of the offensive linemen. And he played half the spring even with a cast on his hand. So that just goes to show that he's, you know, there's a mental toughness, he doesn't back down with pain, and he still performed at a high level when he was injured. So right now he is healthy, and if we can see a healthy Andrew Stuber at the beginning of the season, I think the sky's the limit for him. I think he has great upside, great potential to be the leader of this offensive line, and I'm just really excited to see what he can do and how what he's worked on fundamentally over the offseason translates to the games this season, against these really tough college football matchups. And with that, that closes out my predictions for the predicted offensive positions for this Michigan Wolverines football team. They have a really tough schedule this season, but I am very excited to see what they can do. They went 2-4 last season. They're not ranked right now. They are, in many people's eyes, the underdogs in a lot of these games this season. So I think they have a lot to prove. I think they can prove it. I'm just looking forward to seeing some college football, some Michigan football, and seeing what a lot of these young guys can do. A lot of them are kind of jumping right into their starting positions under the gun. There's a lot of people waiting their turns behind them. Some Michigan fans might feel that they don't deserve to start. So a lot of them are feeling the pressure. A lot of them, though, are also very eager to show us what they can do and to start winning some football games again and be the Michigan football that we all expect them to be. So with that, thank you everyone for listening to another episode of the Michigan Rundown Podcast. I'll be coming out with a defensive predicted starters very shortly, so stay tuned for that. And with that, thank you so much.